VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it all started Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2021. It started then. That's when it changed, a new direction for America. So many issues as a very leftist agenda was put into place. Well, today we're going to look at the Biden effect on immigration, including what's happening at the border since the inauguration and the impact that it's having on our nation, not only for today, but what lies just down the road ahead of us. We're going to be looking at the policies put in place and the proposals that are being sought after by this present administration. With us today, we have Mark Krikorian. He's a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues. He is the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. They're an independent, nonpartisan research organization that examines and critiques the impact of immigration on the United States. He has testified many times before Congress, has published numerous articles on many outlets. Mark, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, as you know, there is literally a night and day difference as to our nation's policies on immigration from what we saw under a Trump administration to what we now see under a Biden administration. And Mark, you recently wrote a column that the Biden administration is proposing legislation that would legalize virtually all illegal aliens, would increase our legal immigration, as well as weaken our immigration enforcement. Give us an overview. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a big amnesty bill that they laid out, at least the outlines of it, on day one, literally the afternoon he was inaugurated. And the actual, you know, fully written out bill, it's 350-something pages, was introduced formally in the House and Senate last week. And like you said, it seeks to do three main things. Amnesty all the illegal immigrants who are here. And when I say all, I'm not really exaggerating, because the cutoff date for being in the U.S. for this amnesty is January 1st. It's not January 1st, 2000, or January 1st, 2010. It's January 1st of this year.
Wow.
So it's one thing to say that illegal immigrants who lived here for many years and put down roots and what have you, that it would be prudent to amnesty them. You know, there are circumstances where I can agree with that, potentially. They're saying that if you've been here for 2 months, you should be allowed to live here for the rest of your life. It's absurd.
That's point one. Yeah, we're going to look at two and three, but what kind of numbers are we talking with this?
Well, I mean, the usual number used for the illegal population is something like 11 million people. Some people on the sort of among immigration hawks, people who want a tight immigration policy, are skeptical. They think that number's too low, because, you know, it's been that something like that number for many years. I think they're probably that skepticism is probably unwarranted. Tucker Carlson had a whole segment, and Tucker's a smart guy, and he pointed out real problems with the way that scholars estimate it. But I still think it's not much bigger. Maybe it's 12 million. Maybe it's 13 million. But I just don't see how it could be 20 or 25 million. But you know, how many illegal aliens do you, you know, I mean, is amnestying 10 million people, which is probably what it would be since not everybody would qualify, amnestying 10 million people is still plenty bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. In other words, how much bigger does it need to be? So, you know, just as a rule of thumb, maybe 10 million people would get amnesty under this bill.
Okay, so that's prong number one, is the amnesty for all up until January 1 of 2021. What's that second component?
The second part is a significant increase in legal immigration. And it looks like it would be something like doubling legal immigration from 1 million a year to 2 million every year. And frankly, the 1 million a year is too high already. And it does it in a whole bunch of different ways. There's like a dozen different things in the bill that would, anyway, I mean, there's no point to going into details, but it increases one visa category. In another one, it like wouldn't count the dependents toward the numerical cap. It all adds up to probably a million extra people. And I say each year. And so I say probably, because when this bill was unwrapped, there was a press call they had, you know, with reporters from the big legacy media institutions. And the New York Times reporter, whom I know, asked one of the staff members of the congressman introducing it the question you just asked. In other words, how much would this increase? What would this do to legal immigration? What would the numbers be? Mm-hmm. And the answer of the people who had supposedly sponsored and prepared this bill was they didn't know. They never even figured out what the increase would be because they view the legal immigration issue as basically a way of giving things out to different special interest groups. So what it adds up to just doesn't interest them because, you know, this interest group that's concerned about X issue gets its visas and, you know, a different group concerned about Y gets their visas. And whatever it adds up to, whatever, who cares? It'll all work out. That's kind of their perspective.
Yeah.
So it's an appalling example of bad policymaking. And then the third thing is that it actually weakens enforcement. And that's unprecedented because earlier legislation that tried to amnesty people at least pretended to have enforcement that would limit the number of new illegal immigrants after the ones already here got amnesty. And there's a certain logic to that. You know, you clean up the mistakes of past bad policy, but going forward, you try to make sure you don't have those kind of problems. This bill explicitly rejects the idea of enforcing immigration law in the future and weakens a whole variety of immigration enforcement measures.
Mark, we're just laying out the welcome mat saying, okay, some more illegals, come on in.
Well, that's exactly it. Because, you know, the much of the public opinion polling that the advocates of amnesty point to, saying, look, the American public supports amnesty. Well, you know, the questions are obviously slanted.
Right.
They're like, you know, do you want to give long-term people who are law-abiding and, you know, tithe to their church, call their mother every Sunday, and are kind to animals? Do you want to give them all amnesty? Well, people are like, well, I guess, I don't know, that sounds good. But implicitly, when people think about this, what they mean is, or what they think they're supporting, is fixing bad mistakes from the past, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, you're sort of absolved of our past mistakes, but, you know, as the boss said, go, my child, and sin no more. Well, that's not what this bill is.
Yeah,
this bill is legalizing people who are already here and then essentially ensuring that 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to have another amnesty because there'll be more illegal.
Andrew Arthur from your team indicated that hidden within this amnesty bill is this what he called a sleeper provision granting amnesty to criminal aliens, or at least makes them eligible to receive that amnesty. He said you could actually call this the Drug Trafficker, Pimp, and Rapist Relief Act. I mean, that's rather alarming.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's the kind of thing that's hard to, you have to really know this sort of thing inside out to even see it. Because, you know, this bill, the Biden-Menendez amnesty bill, they're calling it after Senator Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, who's the sponsor in the Senate. It was written by immigration lawyers and immigration activists. So they're actually, they know kind of where to put the sleeper things. And the only reason Arthur saw this, Art is his nickname, the only reason Art found this is because he's been a longtime Hill staffer. He wrote parts of the immigration law, and he was an immigration judge for many years. So stuff like this doesn't get by him, but even he had to kind of plow through it and then see where they had stuck this little landmine or Easter egg from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's appalling. I mean, it makes it easier for people who have been convicted of crimes, and it's not that it lets them out of jail. I mean, if you're convicted of a crime and you go to jail and you're an illegal immigrant, when you finish your sentence, you're supposed to be bounced out of the country. What this does is let those people potentially stay and give lots of leeway to the Biden administration on deciding who can stay. And the kind of the theory, the principle behind this is that on the left, And this is also true among libertarians, who we usually think of as part of the right, although they're not really anymore. They don't think that you should be made to leave the country if you don't want to. And so if you're a member of the community, what have you, and then you go and kill somebody, and, you know, you're let out of jail 20 years later, and they think you should be able to stay, which is crazy. But it's not something that Biden will be advertising, that's for sure. I'm skeptical he even knows this is in the bill.
So we've had some protocols known as Remain in Mexico. What's happening with that?
Yeah, that was a response to the border crisis about from, what was it now, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Is that that, when, that Title 42?
Well, no, that's a separate thing. I'll get to that. But the Remain in Mexico was a way of preventing people from using a bogus claim of asylum as a way of getting past the Border Patrol and let go into the U.S. So that instead of being given a court date, and then they drop you off at the bus station, and then 2 years later, you may come to your hearing, you may not, whatever. Remain in Mexico, and we got Mexico to agree to this. I was surprised that the Trump administration succeeded, but they did. They got Mexico to agree to take these people back, because they're not Mexicans. They don't have to take them back. They're Central Americans. Take them back to wait on their side of the border until their hearing date comes up, and then they'd be able to come in. That was very effective in controlling the use of fake asylum claims. Biden has undone that. The other thing you were talking about, the shorthand term is Title 42, but what it is an emergency public health measure that allows the Border Patrol in a public health emergency to just turn people around at the border and boot them back. No hearing, no nothing. All, again, very effective at controlling the border. The Biden administration is afraid that if they got rid of it, they'd have a flood of people. So they've kept this Trump policy that they said was bad in place, except, and this is the twist, they said we're not going to expel unaccompanied minors if they come across, even though we're keeping this public health order in place. They're going to be able to stay. Well, guess what happened?
We got an explosion.
All kinds of parents are sending their kids across the border alone.
An explosion. And we are seeing very significant numbers of unaccompanied children crossing the borders. And we understand, I mean, there are some border officials that are projecting a peak of 13,000 unaccompanied children crossing the border by May.
Yeah, I think it actually may be higher than that, because in February that just ended, it was something like 9,000 unaccompanied minors. And these are not, you know, four-year-olds who wandered across Mexico. They're people who are there, mostly teenagers, brought by smugglers to the Mexican border, or they may have come with their parents to the Mexican border. And then they're sent across the border to turn themselves into the Border Patrol, at which point we deliver them at taxpayer expense to their aunts or uncles or relatives in the U.S.
Folks, we're going to come back to this issue of the unaccompanied minors crossing the border into the U.S. as the floodgates are open once again in this regard. And what about those cages and detentions that were condemned by Mr. Biden? More on that after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is our guest today. He is the executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. We're talking about the Biden effect on immigration as it is coming into fuller play here at this point, even with the, as we talked about, the legislation that's being proposed, basically giving amnesty to all up until January 1 of 2021, a significant increase in legal immigration, as well as weakening our present enforcement of immigration and illegal immigration. We're talking right now about the unaccompanied children crossing the border, and I've seen projections up to 13,000 by May. And Mark, you were saying that sounds even low, that we may see many more than that. So the process is that they come through our borders and we give them transportation then to the nearest relative, no matter where in the country?
Yep. What happens is when a supposedly unaccompanied minor is taken in custody, the Border Patrol, usually they just turn themselves in because they know the deal, they've been told. They are held, short-term by the Border Patrol just because they took them into custody. They can't just, let them loose in the street. Then they're handed over to the Department of Health and Human Services, which maintains either has its own shelters or contracts with shelters. And then when the kids are in the shelters, the HHS, the government department, basically looks for sponsors for, whom they're going to deliver the kids to while their asylum claims supposedly are processed. And the kids usually have the name and address and phone number and email address and everything of their relatives. Sometimes it's their own parents who left the kids back with grandma and now are paying smugglers to bring them here. Sometimes it'll be some other relative. And those are most of the instances. In a few instances, they're delivered to a foster family. But in any of those cases, you and I pay to deliver those young people to their relatives, their sponsors in the U.S. And then, they have an asylum hearing at some point. They may show up. They may not show up. Basically, they're never going to leave is what it amounts to.
The Biden administration has opened up some detention centers for illegal alien minors, and I understand families as well, on the Texas border, another in Florida. Wasn't this the sort of thing that Mr. Biden condemned President Trump for doing?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's exactly what they condemned them for doing. And the reason they're reopening these centers, or the reason they closed them under Trump, is because they didn't need them anymore. They had gotten control on the border. And it wasn't completely shut down, but it was not a crisis. Now they're having to reopen the Trump detention centers because the Biden people have essentially invited a new wave of illegal immigrants. And the Biden people are saying, no, this is different. There's no cages. Well, there were never cages to begin with. Mm-hmm. The whole kids in cages thing was a lie. They were just chain-link dividers to keep adult illegal immigrants separate from 12-year-old girls who were illegal immigrants, because they were stuck holding on to them until they could deliver them to shelters. Well, there's a reason Obama did that too. You have to do that. It's irresponsible to do anything else.
He built them.
Yeah, exactly. And so now what they're saying is that, well, these aren't cages. They're shipping containers, which is what they're going to be storing these kids in. Okay, well, yeah, that's a big difference. I mean, it's the denials of the Biden administration that they're doing something different from Trump are ridiculous.
Now they're shipping containers. We're keeping them shipping containers, not in cages. I mean, it's outlined. Where is ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN? Are they showing this?
Some of it, a little bit, not really. Occasionally they're... I did notice the Washington Post did a story, a curated story, basically kind of like a press release from Homeland Security, showing the inside with nobody in it, but with table with school books and pencils all lined up. I mean, it was propaganda, and there's no surprise. That's what you would expect from these guys.
Well, every night, though, we have the news media talking about the pandemic. It's talking about an economic slowdown, yet the White House is making a top priority amnesty for those that are in our nation illegally. And I saw recently a story where the mayor of the Texas city, Del Rio, is making an urgent plea to President Biden saying stop releasing illegal immigrants into his community because we don't have the resources to help. And then he talked about the potential health risk to residents by spreading COVID.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, mind you, this is a Democratic mayor, Mexican-American Democrat in South Texas. The town is Del Rio, sort of southwest Texas. Anyway, he you can just Google the thing and find it. The YouTube is video there, and it's he's begging the administration not to let these, this is family groups they're talking about, that are crossing a South Texas border. Mexico, at least in South Texas, or opposite South Texas, has stopped, is no longer agrees to take back people under these public health expulsions. So the Border Patrol is basically just giving them a piece of paper and dropping them off at the bus station. And so this mayor is saying, well, you know, what the heck are we supposed to do with them? I mean, they need diapers, they need somewhere to eat, they need a drink of water. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dumping these people on our small community that's hit by COVID. Economically isn't all that dynamic anyway. And, you know, he's saying, I can't do my job as mayor. And you'd think this would be a wake-up call for the folks in Washington. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be.
What about those folks in Washington? I mean, are all congressional Democrats? Are they on the same page as President Biden on this?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but even they're not really. I mean, there used to be a tradition of immigration hawks, of, you know, people who were more, you know, pro-enforcement in the Democratic Party years ago. A lot of them were pro-union people, that sort of thing. They're all gone. I mean, even Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, who's referred to as, I mean, by Democratic standards, he's obviously pretty moderate, mm-hmm. but even he voted for the big Gang of Eight amnesty bill under Obama. Mm. So they're don't seem to be any Democrats who are now. There are some that are worried about the political fallout. That's very true. Some of the Mexican American Democrats, congressmen on the Texas border, are saying, you know, this is going to blow up in our face in the next midterm election or the presidential election, and so we need to get a handle on this. But other than that, no, there's not a peep of dissent among Democratic elected officials.
Well, there's some other things going on at the same time. I saw a story in Western Journal here, Mark, about the, while this is going on, that the citizenship test, that they're looking at changing this to go back to 2008 rather than the 2020 test, because they said the 2020 test may inadvertently create potential barriers to the naturalization process. I mean, isn't that what the citizen test is supposed to do?
Yeah, it frankly is, and it's not even much of a barrier. I mean, I used to teach the citizenship test to green card holders who wanted to take the test. It was a volunteer thing with Catholic Charities. And the way it works, and it's now back to this way, is there's 100 questions. They're on the Internet. The questions and answers are all there. They have flashcards, everything. In other words, it's no secret. And you were asked 10 questions. You only had to get 6 right. And when you got 6 right, then they stopped asking any more questions. In other words, if you got the first 6 right, then you were done. Under Trump, what they did is try to refine it a little bit. They made it, it's not really harder, but there are like 128 questions now. Again, all of them online with the answers too. And you had to answer 20 questions and get 12 right. So it's the same percentage. You only need a 60%. 60% is not passing in any school I know, but it is passing for the citizenship test.
Wow.
And the questions, they were all the same thing. They're all pretty basic stuff. Mm-hmm. How many amendments are there in the Constitution? Mm-hmm. That's the only one that I didn't know right off. It's 27. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff is, you know, who's president? Who freed the slaves? Mm-hmm. You know, who did we get independence from in the Revolutionary War? I mean, it's basic civics, and it shouldn't be super hard. Because, you know, you shouldn't have to be a PhD to become an American citizen.
Right.
But it should be pretty, you should cover the basics. And that was still too much for this new crowd. And they went back to the older version of the test. They're both pretty easy. They're not really that hard. But they went back to the even easier one than the one Trump put together.
Okay, so we have that going on, one of the rings of the circus here, and here's another ring, and that's the confirmation hearings going on. And two I want to point out with you and have you comment on. One, we have Merrick Garland. This is President Biden's pick to be Attorney General, and he was asked by Senator Josh Hawley if he believed that illegal entry at America's borders should remain a crime. And his response is amazing. I mean, here he's seeking to be the top law enforcement officer of our nation. And he said, well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think the president has made clear that we are a country with borders and with a concern about national security. I don't know of a proposal to decriminalize, but still make it unlawful to enter. I just don't know the answer to that question. I hadn't thought about it. I mean, that's rather shocking.
Yeah, what's shocking is that he was not telling the truth. I'm sorry, but there's no way that he has never thought about that. It came up during the presidential debates repeatedly in the Democratic primaries. And Biden actually did not favor decriminalizing border crossing. Because the way it works now is if you cross, they call it entry without inspection. So you cross somewhere where there's no border inspector. You hop the border, basically. That is both a criminal offense and an administrative or civil offense. Usually, they don't prosecute because that's a lot of work. But the option is always there to prosecute, and they do use it. If you're a repeat crosser or whatever it is, they can use it. The fact that he was not able to say, well, you know, sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not, that kind of thing. In other words, some kind of, on the one hand, on the other hand, answer that, you know, any lawyer with any experience in public affairs, and this guy's been a judge, and I mean, he's not a rube. The fact that he didn't give some kind of, you know, basic supportive response saying, you know, we'll have to reserve judgment, sometimes we will prosecute, other times we won't, is itself an answer. In other words, right, what he really said was, no, we're not going to be prosecuting for border crossing. Even when it's warranted.
Yeah. Well, and that vote is pending in the Senate, but there's another one, too, and that is Xavier Becerra, who has expressed he's now the nominee for Health and Human Services, but he talked about the exceeding deep convictions he's had about providing free health care for illegal aliens.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. I mean, he used to be in the House of Representatives and was a, you know, leader in the anti-borders pro-illegal immigration cause in the House. And, you know, there's no, I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. And, you know, is it really, do the American, when people who voted for Biden, how many of them were thinking, yeah, I want to give my tax money to provide health care to illegal aliens? I don't mean emergency health care. I don't mean vaccinations. I personally think, and everybody thinks, even the Trump administration thought, we should be vaccinating everybody, even if they're illegal aliens. No questions asked. I think it's hard to even argue with that. But, you know, all the other health care issues, the stuff that costs huge amounts of money, we really should be giving that to illegal immigrants? I don't think so. And yet, Becerra, who may or may not get confirmed, he's actually in trouble, does believe that, and it's absurd.
How to get engaged, folks. We'll have some thoughts on that issue after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is our guest from the Center for Immigration Studies. We'll be back in a minute.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Immigration, the Biden effect, our topic here today on Crosstalk. Mark Krikorian is our guest. He is the executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. We'll be giving you their web address here in just a moment. Be ready to jot it down. We're talking about all that's going on. We, of course, have some nominees making their way through the process, the Senate confirmation process right now, some of their views on this. We were talking about the free health care aspect, and we're going to hit COVID relief, but what kind of impact would this have, Mark, on like our Social Security system, our Medicare trust funds, if we do exactly what Becerra's is proposing we do?
Well, I mean, if everybody is amnestied, as this, you know, legislation would do, there's something called the Congressional Budget Office that gives Congress cost estimates for legislation within over the next 10 years. And what we found is that the biggest costs of an amnesty like this will be more than 10 years out, because it will, all of these illegal immigrants, and half of the illegal immigrants who work, pay into Social Security and Medicare, but they're not eligible to collect anything. Once they're legalized, they're eligible to collect, which means hundreds of billions of dollars in extra costs. We're actually working out the specific number, but we're completely comfortable saying hundreds of billions.
Wow.
In costs that we would not have spent if we didn't have the amnesty. Now, whether it's appropriate for people to, you know, whether it's a good idea that people should be paying into Social Security and not being able to get it, mm-hmm. that's a separate question. The fact is, this legislation would cost literally hundreds of billions of dollars that we would not be paying otherwise if it weren't for the amnesty.
I saw also that these stimulus checks, we just had the House pass their version of the so-called COVID Relief Act, which, I mean, only, what is it, under 10% really deals with COVID relief. But I understand part of this will be stimulus checks issued to illegal aliens as part of this COVID relief package.
Absolutely. The Democrats insisted on that. And, you know, essentially what we're doing is paying illegal immigrants to stay. If that's, you know, you think about it, that's what it is, paying people to stay rather than to go back to their home countries, which is what they're supposed to do because they're illegally here. It's absurd. I think it's unlikely to end up in the final legislation because, I don't see the Senate being able to go along with that. But the question is, how much will Nancy Pelosi insist on it?
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, it'll probably be taken out, but you can't count on that.
No. One other comment here, and folks, we're going to get into what can I do, but this past Saturday, we can't ignore what happened in Portland, Oregon as well. I mean, we had the offices of ICE vandalized, many other businesses vandalized as well, another riot or protest going on there against immigration, against, you know, the ICE anyways, and children in cages and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, this administration is hostile to the people who work for it, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole abolish ICE thing that the hard left was for, Biden said, no, you know, we don't want to abolish ICE. What his DHS secretary is doing is abolishing ICE but keeping the name. The plan is, and they haven't carried this out yet, but what they want to do is make all of the ICE deportation officers into a different kind of officer that can't enforce, that can't deport people, that can't enforce administrative violations of the immigration law. So that their ideal situation is that we wouldn't be able to deport anybody who wasn't a criminal. That, in other words, regular illegal immigrants couldn't be deported because there literally would be no one whose job it was anymore to do that. It is appalling, and it seems to me it's the kind of thing that might even be challenged in court as a constitutional violation. But we'll have to see if they follow through on that plan, but that is their plan.
Mark, I'm confident there are people listening to our interview today that are just they're frustrated and very concerned about the direction our nation is going on this, and they ask the natural question, what can I do? What's your response?
First thing is you get educated on the issues by going to our website, CIS, Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. We have a blog every day. We have blog posts and publications. Second thing is if you have a taste for snark and sarcasm, you can follow me on Twitter if that's your thing. It's Mark S. as in Stephen, Mark S. Krikorian. And then as far as citizen action goes, once you're educated, the best group on that is, we're a think tank. CIS is a think tank. The best group that does that kind of citizen activism is called Numbers USA. And they're online at numbersusa.com. And it's a very, very effective organization. They were the ones responsible for stopping the George W. Bush amnesty and the Obama amnesties. So they've got a real proven track record. If Facebook is your thing, they have more followers on Facebook than the NRA.
Wow.
So they, so once you get the information, that's a way you can kind of operationalize it as a citizen and make your voice heard.
And friends, keep in mind that you've got an open door at the congressional switchboard to let your views be made known to your congressman as to the position you stand on these issues. 202-225-3121 to the House and 202-224-3121 to the Senate. But being in communication with your House members, your members of Senate who are voting and considering these very aspects, and certainly they are the means to let your views be heard as well. So as our guest today, Mark Krikorian, has said, get educated, CIS.org, that stands for Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. You can follow him on Twitter as well at Mark S. Krikorian. And you can also check out the website, numbersusa.com. Today, we'd like to give you opportunity to ask a question. Maybe you have a brief comment you'd like to make. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your response today to the Biden effect on immigration. Mark, as we waiting for the first calls to come in here today, I understand Rasmussen's been doing some polling. Tell us about it.
Right. Rasmussen has been polling the same question every week for more than a year. Several questions on immigration. For instance, do you think there's been too much immigration enforcement or too little? Do you favor amnesty for the Dreamers, illegal immigrants who came as minors, or not? And what apparently has happened, and our research director wrote a piece on this at National Review over the weekend, is that as soon as Biden got elected, the numbers on immigration started turning against him. In other words, starting in November, the percentage of people who said we're doing too little to enforce immigration laws started going up. The percentage of people who said they supported amnesty for the Dreamers started going down. So there's no question that you're seeing not just a Biden effect at the border pulling illegal immigrants in, but you're seeing a kind of Biden effect in public opinion of people moving away from or moving toward a tighter stance on immigration. And I think part of that might be due to the fact that as President Trump, first of all, I mean, he's not on Twitter anymore. He's not on TV every day anymore. And for a lot of people, you know, he turned them off. I mean, there's no denying that. But once he wasn't the issue anymore, the substance of the immigration issue for a lot of more middle-of-the-road people, they agree. They want a tighter policy, and they're saying it.
They agreed with President Trump's policies in that regard.
Right, exactly.
Let's go to John in Utica, Minnesota. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Just a quick one here in regard to the young folks coming across the border. Remember back 6 months to a year, whatever it was, when they were families being split up at border crossings. Some of the liberals were having a conniption over this. Is this going to be another way of sneaking, you know, you bring your kids across, but now since we got to reunite families, now we just automatically bring the parents across too? Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the way it's been ever since for the past year and a half, even because of various loopholes and judicial rulings. You can't hold on to a minor. The immigration can't detain a minor, somebody under 18, for more than 20 days. And if we're not splitting him up from the parents, in other words, holding the parents, but, you know, releasing the kid, then you end up having to release the parents too. So essentially, kids have become a kind of golden ticket into the U.S. so that if you bring your kid with you, or somebody's kid, you pretend it's your kid, you are not totally guaranteed, but you significantly increase the likelihood that you're just going to be sprung and let go. And that's what you're seeing in South Texas now. That's why they opened a family detention center so they can hold on to people at least briefly, but they still let them go after a week or two. Bringing a kid with you, because of the loopholes in our law and a lot of other things, is a way of being released and succeeding in illegal immigration. And everybody in Central America knows it. I mean, people all have cell phones. The grapevine works very well. People aren't stupid. They know what's going on. And that's why you see an increase in families. In other words, adults traveling with kids coming across. And they're not just from Central America. A lot of them from Haiti, from different countries in Africa as well, that sort of thing. So absolutely, having a kid under our rules now is a golden ticket to be released into the U.S.
Let's go to Brad next. Hi, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. There's a couple of reasons for splitting from Britain in the Declaration of Independence that apply right here with this subject. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers. Today it would be illegals to harass our people and eat out their substance. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, and is totally unworthy of a head of a civilized nation. I left a little bit of it out for time.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the Democrats put in there, that's what they're going to get. I'm not sure this guy really knows what's going on around him, but he's getting the same kind of treatment that Evers is in Madison. Somebody's telling him what to do and say, and this is not good for us. Your guest mentioned that President Trump was in favor of everybody getting vaccinated, including the illegals. I don't know what he had said about the illegals, but he always said it should be a person's choice, free choice to get vaccinated or not, at least with citizens.
Okay. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't mean to apply it was going to be mandatory or anything. What I mean is you wouldn't be barred from it because of legal status. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just common sense. But as far as the president not knowing what's going on, there may well, I don't know if that's true or not, but President Biden wasn't as lax on immigration in the past when he was in the Senate or even when he was vice president. I mean, he voted in 2006 for the Secure Fence Act to build the fencing. I mean, that's the authorization for all the stuff that Trump has been doing. Obama also voted for it in the Senate. Senator Hillary Clinton voted for it. So the Democratic Party has become radicalized on immigration, and Biden is kind of just the figurehead overseeing that, I think.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come right back to your phone calls here in our final segment as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is our guest. Their website, cis.org. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Perhaps one of the greatest schemes coming globally is the carbon tax or carbon credit. The idea is you need to be taxed for simply being alive, for simply breathing, putting out carbon dioxide. Then you add the fact that you actually drive a car, heat your home, or use an air conditioner. One study shows that the average home, the average household in America, puts out 48 tons of carbon dioxide. That means you need to be taxed at least $51 a ton, according to the new Biden administration. That would be a tax on the average American family of almost $2,500. Are you ready for an additional $2,500 in taxes? Or how about this? The real target price, they say some, is $400 per ton. Are you ready for a tax bill of over $19,000? Well, get ready, because they're going to start forcing you to buy carbon offsets, paying a tax credit. This is a complete global scam.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is with us today from Center for Immigration Studies, their website cis.org. Our topic today, immigration, the Biden effect. Let's go right back to the phone line. Star has been holding. Hi, Star, you're on the air.
Hi. I really enjoy your program and that, and I'm learning a lot that I didn't know. I just, a lot of these places, when you get a hold of them because you want to help in that, there's so many of them that then they start sending you letters because you want to help them and they want money. Well, a lot of people on disability and on Social Security, we don't get enough to live on sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the extra money to send to the places to try to help them to help us.
Are you referring to places that are, in particular, what are you referring to, Star?
Well, there's like the... I get them from the guy with the laws for the Congress and stuff and things like that. And they all you know, it's like, and the.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about immigration today here in particular and having your voice heard. And we're talking about the policies here across the nation. I'm not quite sure where you're going there, But I know for organizations that inform and educate on this, yeah, there's cost involved, and they're real people that have needs as well that need to be met as far as working to keep you informed and the nation informed. Thank you so much, Star. Lee is calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Lee, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to state my observation as far as how I see this issue. As far as dishing out all these freebies to illegal aliens who seriously have no business being in this country. I mean, they've already broken the law coming here. What else are they going to break as far as other laws, as far as human trafficking, drug trafficking, and all that? But my observation is that this is nothing more than a big scheme for liberal Democrats in Washington, D.C. to pander for votes prior to an election. And I want to question your guest if he agrees with my assessment of that.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah, there's no question that's part of what drives immigration, and in fact, or the immigration policy on the left. I mean, on the right, you've got people who want cheap labor. On the left, it's kind of interesting that votes are only part of it, but this Biden-Menendez amnesty bill actually does have a piece that basically just screams out importing voters, because certain illegal immigrants, probably maybe 4 million of them, different categories of them, would get green cards immediately and then citizenship within 3 years. In other words, citizenship before the next presidential election, nakedly political. Hmm. Usually, they're not that transparent. This time, it really is. So, I mean, yes, there's no question this is about importing enough voters in Florida and Texas, they hope, that they can flip those states.
Hmm. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to James in Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have a lot of things, but what I really specifically wanted to point out is Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is a member of a group called La Raza. It is a terrorist organization. It calls for what's called the Reconquista, which is the supposed retaking, which is a misnomer, the retaking of the American Southwest by Mexico, and the securing of probably half of the United States for people of Latino background. I also wanted to point out one more thing. Mr. Becerra, you call him Xavier Becerra? His name is Javier. It's Javier, and that's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
As far as the La Raza thing goes, yeah, it's a group called the National Council of La Raza. And the La Raza idea is a kind of, it really is, it comes from the 1930s. There was a racialist theorist in Mexico who talked about the people, it means the race is what it means in Spanish, and that the mix of European and Indian blood created a kind of Superman. It's sort of like a Hitler idea, except, you know, different. And the National Council La Raza took its name from this idea. They've changed it because it was so controversial. Finally, they had to cave, and they came up with some new focus group's name. It's called Unidos U.S. or something like that. But that's the group that used to be called the National Council of La Raza. Hmm.
Thank you, James. We've got Matilda next. Matilda, you're on the air.
Used to be called the National Council
Matilda.
Of La Raza.
Yes?
You're on the air.
Oh, yes. I want to ask, how can a person that has a green card is able to buy a house?
Well, a green card means that's just sort of a nickname, a shorthand. What it means is you're a lawful permanent resident. So you're a legal resident. You're basically the same as a citizen, except there's a few things you can't do. You can't vote, can't serve on a jury, or work in some government jobs. But you can do any kind of economic thing, any job, you can, you know, rent a house, buy a house, whatever it is. It's illegal immigrants. How do they get to buy houses? Because they don't have Social Security numbers, at least not legal, honest ones. And yet, the Bush administration and the Obama administration basically pushed banks to allow to make mortgage loans to illegal immigrants, as long as they had some kind of identification or what's called an individual taxpayer ID number. So you're right. It is. It's like, how is it possible that an illegal immigrant could buy a house? But, you know, Republican and Democratic administrations have done their best to make sure that it's possible to do so.
We're going
to
try and squeeze one last call in from Grand Chute. Steve, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. This kind of runs parallel with immigration and all that. And I was just wondering, how many miles of unfinished wall is there that would have continued? Does anyone know that question?
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly, but probably something like 250, 300 miles maybe, where there might be some kind of fencing, but it's usually either dilapidated or it's just like 3 or 4 feet high to keep trucks from driving over, but it doesn't actually stop people. So it's, you know, there are some places where there's like a 1 mile hole where they were building it from one side and the other side, and they hadn't met yet when Biden took over and pulled the plug on all of it. There's a rancher in New Mexico who now has a 1 mile hole on his land, which means that's exactly where people are going to be coming over.
Wow.
But, you know, along the whole border, they were probably looking to build 700 plus miles, and there's probably 200, 250 miles they didn't get to.
We're going to have to leave it there. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today. Mark Krikorian, CIS.org. Thank you, Mark, for being a watchman on the wall.
Thank you.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.